Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Agus lá le fáric chun a riamh go léir. Welcome to Capital Irish Wellington Access Radio on 17th of March. And that can only mean one thing, it is St. Patrick's Day. So just wanted to wish you all a very happy St. Patrick's Day, and going to have a few reminders during the show that if you're listening to this on the radio on the 17th, make sure you get down to Queen's Wharf today, where there's a celebration of Irish culture, Irish music. There's a parade that's starting off in, I better just check the details of that and pass it on later on. I think 1 o'clock on Sunday, moving down towards the sales on a Queen's Wharf, getting there at about 1:30, and there'll be some music and some singing and dancing and celebration of all things Irish down there later today. So our intro today kind of segued into a tune from Kieran Hegarty from his album last year. That album was called Now Is The Time and Coming Of Age. I've plugged that album last year when Kieran released it. So Kieran is a member of Shindig, who's basically the house band at the Cut Valley Irish Society, which I also give plenty of plugs for. And Kieran and his friends and associates there, some of them from Shindig, were involved in the recording of that album last year, and some of them will be playing down there at Queen's Wharf today. And they are performing some of Kieran's original songs, so it's probably some members of Shindig and some friends, and the band name there is Sláinte, and they will be playing at Queen's Wharf. And that song there was called Jump on the Paddy Wagon, and that's something that I suppose will be happening in New Zealand and all over the world today, as the whole world celebrates St. Patrick's Day. Whether you love it or hate it, and I know there's some people who have some issues in terms of the over celebrations potentially of St. Patrick's Day, and I know there's a lot of people who are a bit uncomfortable in terms of the perception that Ireland is a country of people who are drinking and fighting, and I know that there'll be some people will be genuinely begrudging some of that on St. Patrick's Day, but it's also a time to just celebrate our culture, our heritage, and obviously there's a huge number of people in New Zealand who are of Irish heritage, whether it's first generation from coming over from Ireland, or whose ancestors have come over here over the last almost 200 years. So it's an opportunity to celebrate all things Irish, and we had a little bit of Zig and Zag and dusting off the din there with a rendition of St. Patrick's Day celebration that they used to do on the show once upon a time. So yeah, today for celebration. Our show today is going to take a slightly different format. We have had, for the last couple of years, we've had some visits from the Irish government. It's been great that the embassy has started up here in Wellington, and we're getting a lot more visibility in terms of getting state visits and getting visits from TDs and from, we even had the president out here a few years back. And this year we had Jack Chambers, who visiting New Zealand. He was down in Christchurch earlier on the week, spent some time in Wellington, and he was out at the hut during the week on Tuesday night as well. Had a chance to talk to him for a couple of minutes. But we've got a section of the show today which will be given over to an interview that Jack Chambers, that TD Jack Chambers gave to our own Marion Grealish during the week. So we will have a listen to that in a minute or so. Again, I just want to kind of make sure, or just let you all know that if you are listening to this on the Sunday on the radio show, make sure you get out there and have a listen to, make sure you get out there and head down to Queen's Wharf, wear something green and celebrate St. Patrick's Day with everybody down there. It's a great day for the Irish community and a great day to celebrate. So why don't we just fire up the interview in a second. Like I said, Jack Chambers was out at the Hutt Valley during the week. Had a chance to have a quick chat with him. He was welcomed out there. Got to meet some of the Irish community, and I think he was heading up to Auckland to celebrate with the Irish community up there on St. Patrick's Day. So we're wishing him a happy St. Patrick's Day and safe travels back to Ireland, where he's heading back for some meetings on transport. I think it's part of his agenda for this business trip as he heads back to Ireland again. So yeah, without further ado, let's have a listen to that interview with Marion.
Minister Jack Chambers, welcome to Wellington.
Thanks so much, and delighted to be here. It's been a great few days so far. We came from Christchurch yesterday, and a lot of activities in Wellington today, yesterday, and again tomorrow. So and then off to Auckland. So wonderful to meet so many Irish people who've moved here, and so many people connected to Ireland, and positive about building relations between our two countries.
Fantastic. And thank you so much for making the time to chat with us here on Capital Irish. We really appreciate it. We'd love to hear a little bit more about your background. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what's brought you here?
Well, look, I know we were talking beforehand and talking about all things County Mayo, but I was born in the west of Ireland in Galway, and both parents from County Mayo. So we're still pursuing that all Ireland, and that was driven into me from day one. But grew up in West Dublin in the Castleknock Blanchardstown area. And so before politics, I studied law. And then subsequently, when I was getting into politics, I was doing medicine. So I'm a medical doctor and was elected a councillor. Then in 2016, I got elected to Dáil Éireann. 2020, re-elected. And then Fianna Fáil, my own party, of which I'm a member, entered government into the current government. So I first 2.5 years, I was government chief whip and minister for sport, the Gaeltacht and defence. And then when the government had a reshuffle and the Fianna Fáil obviously had the first 2.5 years where Micheál Martin was Taoiseach, and then Leo Varadkar became Taoiseach, and I then switched to as a Minister of State for Transport. And so that's been a busy number of years, and it's been a great privilege to serve in government, but also to meet with the wider Irish community who live abroad. And it's great to see. I've been last year for St. Patrick's Week, I was in Japan and Indonesia, and the previous year in the west coast of the US. And it's wonderful to see the huge amount of work that happens on the ground within communities. And same here in New Zealand, the people trying to celebrate and promote all the cultural, sporting and opportunities and links that are there. And also many people who in the years before we had an embassy or before we had such a strong diplomatic presence, the Irish community that moved here or kept that flame alight over so many years. It's great to see that and to experience it over in New Zealand.
Nice. And can you tell us a little bit about what inspired you to pursue a career in politics?
Well, I got involved in politics locally, actually. So my family were close to the late Brian Lenihan, who was previously a TD in Dublin West and Minister for Finance. And so I kind of grew up always interested in issues in our community, and then as I grew older, kind of issues in the world, and then also wanting to represent and wanting to being passionate about my community and have, trying to solve issues. So I had always had that kind of inquisitive interest. And then also when I studied law and political science, interested in how, you know, you can shape decision-making, wider interest in policy. And I suppose the best way to shape, in my view, to shape policy and to make a difference is in actively entering public service and democratic politics. So that's why I joined Fianna Fáil, started off canvassing and just being involved, and then subsequently switched into running for election. So started with the council and it all went from there.
Nice. And what would you say is your proudest moment been so far, either in the Oireachtas or in council?
Oh, well, look, it's a good question. To be honest, the most important thing I think you do in any week, I mean, there's like things you do nationally and achieve nationally that make a big difference for a lot of people. But I think it's actually the little things that that you can really make a difference in someone for some people in really difficult situations, and actually, some people have very sensitive issues in your local community where they're find it difficult to, it could be in health or in housing or in other important areas, or they're in a particular crisis, and that's where politics can really make a difference. You can really give people a voice and give them that level of representation that they require. As Minister for Sport, I would have been very strong on better equality in sport and strengthening female participation, and we set quite significant policies in that, really strengthened Irish language rights when it came to my brief in the Gaeltacht as well. And then as government chief whip, it was about steering a small majority through a very difficult period during COVID, and kind of without the pillar of stability in government, it makes it difficult to implement policy. So lots of different things that that you do every day, but I think it's not about, I think in politics, I suppose in my current position in politics, it's about the future and about making a difference for the communities we represent across key areas in housing and public services and lots of other priority areas, and working to make a difference there.
Thanks for sharing. Prior to your visit this week to New Zealand, what are the connections or any connections to the country?
Yeah, as we were saying there, I've I have relations in Auckland, and proudly from County Mayo as well. So Miles Heenan, whose cousin lives there, with his wife and family, and my dad's uncle actually is up there at the moment, who's also a Heenan, Louis and Pat, and so I look forward to meeting them at the weekend. I mean, I had teachers growing up, actually, particularly through sport, who were from New Zealand. A big interest in sport growing up. So very, very familiar with the country. And we often looked to New Zealand when it comes to different policies in sport and other areas. When I was actually Minister for Sport, we looked around New Zealand and say their high performance strategy and how, strong levels of conversion when it came to the Olympic Games and high performance sport systems, but also in building a more active society. And you can see the manifestation of that when you're in places like Wellington, in terms of promoting active travel and safe cycling and trying to promote a more active society. That's something we're trying to mirror at home. Very familiar with the country and also with I think as part of the new free trade agreement, the opportunities are there. We're seeing that for Irish businesses that want to move and locate here and to trade here, and also interest from New Zealand around building a bigger trading relationship with the European Union, and hopefully Ireland will be an outlet for New Zealand companies to do that.
Oh, great, yeah. And you mentioned a little bit earlier you'd been in Christchurch. What are the other bits and pieces you've been doing on your trip so far?
Yeah, so we were at the Memorial of the Earthquake, which I know has been very difficult for people in the wider community in Christchurch and to our citizens who lost their lives there. So we were there. We also had kind of wider community engagement in Christchurch. And then obviously here in Wellington, we've a lot of community engagement engagement on enterprise issues and wider kind of diplomatic and foreign policy issues as well. Good meeting with the Maori community yesterday. We're up in Hutt Valley Irish Society as well. And then we have a reception this evening for the local community, the Irish community, and the wider cohort, who are very across different sectors of our people in here in Wellington, and then we're off to Auckland tomorrow. So yeah, we've extensive engagement across all strands of our relationship, and you know, look, I suppose trying to meet as many people as we can, and again deepen the relationship between our two countries.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're on track to kind of go home thinking, yeah, I've achieved what I wanted to out of that trip. Is that right?
Look, I mean, first of all, recognising the communities that are here that celebrate all things Ireland, cultural, music, sport, business, and so much more. And like, since we've established the embassy here in the country, there's been huge work to, you know, deepen that relationship. But also, as I said earlier on, to acknowledge the people who came before us. When as a country, we were in a very different place, and St. Patrick's Week is about you know, about acknowledging that, but also listening. So we had a youth advisory panel this morning, for example, with young people here in Wellington, and getting their perspective on how our two countries can work together on kind of on global challenges, and listening to young people and involving young people is a key focus and priority for us as a country at home, but also in our interaction around the world. So it was really great to get the perspective of young people here in New Zealand as part of our advisory group. And yeah, so there's I think what I've seen is a kind of a deepening relationship between our two countries. I mean, there's been that warmth over many decades, and so I think kind of formalizing that through trade and other opportunities will be a catalyst for a lot more to come.
Excellent. And what are your plans for Sunday, for St. Patrick's Day?
Well, I mean, in Auckland, so I'm at the parade and enjoying it all. And look forward to meeting all the people, different groups and people involved in the parade. So I'll be there for that. And I'm sure there'll be lots of music and festival fun and everything else. So that's something I look forward to. And you know, I said we had heard about all the different activities that are happening across the country as well, so it can only be in one place. But no, really looking forward to that in Auckland, and then back leaving on Monday.
Oh, it sounds like the trip is going well so far, and we wish you all the very best of luck for the rest of us. Before we let you go, I'd love to hear a little bit more about you, more from you, about who sort of your role models are, and who do you admire?
Oh, well, look, there's a huge amount of people, I think, in when it comes to in sport, for example. I was previously minister for sport. When you look at kind of leaders, particularly in women in sport, who've led the way, the likes of Katie Taylor, how she's inspiring a generation of young people, particularly women in sport, to be involved in across so many areas of our sporting system, and she and many others have led the way, and that's been a big catalyst for female participation in sport overall. In politics, you know, I think an inspirational political figure, I think in Ireland, I think speaks to, particularly now that I'm in New Zealand, if you think of how Sean Lamass, as a leader at the time, started to unlock the opportunity for Irish people to not be defined by leaving our country, which was our story for our first many years as an independent nation and before that. So building an open, enterprising economy, eventually joining the European Union. I think all of that has been a key, has unlocked key opportunities for our people. And I think in politics, you have to, you know, make sure you make decisions so that the future is a better one for the next generation. I think, you know, political leaders that do that, obviously there's always a different era and different time where people, you can look back and, you know, in terms of wider decision making, but I think, you know, unlocking the opportunities for our economy has given huge opportunities at home, but also to further build that connectedness that we have with people abroad. And there's lots of other lots of other role models and people that I admire in lots, but I think there are two people in politics and sport who I think are a shining light.
Thank you. And finally, do you have any words of advice for some of the young people that you were talking to earlier as part of the Youth Council or young people listening as to, you know, what should they do if they're kind of interested in helping their communities and supporting those around them?
I think just to get involved and to use their voice and to, you know, civic participation is of huge importance. I know certain cohorts of young people here and across the world can feel disillusioned and not as engaged with the political process. But you know, they have an absolutely central role to shape the future. And I think I would say to many young people that I meet at home is to get involved in a political party, no matter what that party is, so that they can, you know, be a voice within, I suppose, formal policy making and the formal political system, and then running in politics. You know, it's a open democratic system, and civic participation and democratic participation is of huge importance. So we need more people to want to step up and be involved and run in politics, so that you know, competition breeds a better politics, and the more people that, from all walks of life, of all ages, of all backgrounds, the more people that are willing and wanting to get involved, the better it'll be for you know, a better political system and better decision making and a better future for everybody. So I think, you know, if people have an interest, if people have particular concerns or issues, it's to raise them, but also to get involved to help build the solutions to them as well.
Yeah, because if we take it for granted, then, you know, we have no voice. So yeah.
Absolutely. And people before us fought to make sure we all have a voice and have a say. And particularly the world has gone in terms of that battle between authoritarianism and democracy. Democracy is about people being involved in different shapes or form, whether that's supporting a candidate or a party that aligns with their value system or otherwise getting involved. I think the more people that are active, involved and shaping policy within the political system, whether they're elected or not, the healthier it is for democracy and for civic participation overall.
Yeah, the greater diversity you get.
We need more diversity in politics itself. And that's more young people, more women and people from newer communities and you know, particularly in Ireland, we have a lot of new communities that I'm director of elections for Fianna Fáil, and we're trying to support, you know, many newer candidates from new Irish communities who've moved here and moved to Ireland, should I say, and have built a life there. And I think that's important as well.
Yeah. Well, Minister, thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat with us here on Capital Irish. We really appreciate it, and we wish you sláinte mhaille.
Thanks so
and
much.
And enjoy the rest of your trip in New Zealand.
Thank you very much. Delighted to chat to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Great stuff there. Thanks, Marion. Before we kind of wrap up the end of the show, I'm just going to read out to you what is on the poster, which I've just looked up for the parade. So obviously it's being organised by the Wellington Irish Society with their sponsors. So Te Whanganui Atara, celebrating Irish heritage and culture, St Patrick's Day on the waterfront, 17th March 2024. 1 p.m. parade from Kumutoto Square, and then at 1:30 p.m. a concert at Queen's Wharf under the sails. So that's taking place there today. I literally have no idea where Kumutoto Square is, but just a word of warning for people who've been to the parade the last couple of years. So when we've been down there, it started off down at Te Papa. That will not be happening this year because Homegrown Festival is on this year. So the parade has got a different starting spot. So just head along there to Kumutoto Square and heading down to Queen's Wharf from there. Hopefully the weather plays nicely for us. We're going to play you out with a piece of music today, and some news has come out this week is that Irish artist Hozier is coming to New Zealand in November. Unfortunately, he's not coming to Wellington. He's going to play a show in Auckland, and in Christchurch, and tickets for those shows are going on sale tomorrow. I had grossly underestimated how popular his hit single Take Me to Church was. I knew it was a kind of a global sensation, but it was one of, I think, only maybe 30 songs to reach 1 billion streams on Spotify, and that was going back maybe about a year ago, and since then it's doubled that, and it's been streamed over 2 billion times, which makes it probably one of the most listened to songs on Spotify, which is an amazing achievement for any artist. You know, well done to him. And I was just looking up his wiki page as well, and it is his birthday on 17th of March. So happy birthday to Hozier, and it would be remiss of me not to say happy birthday to my mother as well, back in Ireland, who also has her birthday on St. Patrick's Day. So why don't we have a play out with some Hozier, and I guess we'll have a listen to his most popular tune, and that is Take Me to Church. Again, don't forget to get along to the parade today. There'll also be activities happening around Wellington, but if you're in the Hutt, the Hutt Valley Art Society will be open as well, and some of the band members that from Sláinte will be heading out there to join up with the rest of the Shindig crew, and we'll be playing songs well late into the night. It's always a great occasion, and get along there if you can. So once again, happy St. Patrick's Day to you all. Lá le fáir chun an Ríomh, and we'll chat to you again soon. Sláinte.
My lover's got humour. She's the giggle at a funeral. Knows everybody's disapproval. I should have worshipped her sooner. If the heavens ever did speak, she's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak, a fresh poison each week. We were born sick, you heard them say it. My church offers no absolutes. She tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone with you. I was born sick, but I love it. Command me to be well. Amen. 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 Take me to church. I'll worship like a dog at the shrine of delight. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that deathless death, the good God. Let me give you my life. Take me to church. I'll worship like a dog.
Been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.